In every generation, God raises up leaders. And that's really the starting point for this whole conversation we're about to have.
It is. It's this foundational idea in the sources we're looking at today. But, and this is the crucial part, not every leader actually succeeds in, well, in building the kingdom.
Right. So many end up, maybe without even realizing it, just sort of managing their own little corner of the world instead of building something for God.
That's it, exactly. And the sources present this really striking contrast, this dichotomy between two totally different models of leadership that, you can see playing out all the time.
And it's not just about management style, is it? Or personality. It goes way deeper than that.
Oh, much deeper.
Yeah.
We're talking about the underlying motivation, their allegiance. I mean, at the end of the day, their real purpose.
Which gets us right to the heart of this deep dive. Are you leading to protect your turf, or are you leading to build a legacy? Because the difference between those two, it changes everything.
It really does. How you see people, how you define success, even where you put your trust.
So our mission today is to unpack that. We're going to break down six fundamental contrasts between these two kinds of leaders, the turf protector and the legacy builder, so you can really see which model you might be operating in.
Yeah, and this is more than just, some business coaching seminar. This is a deep look at spiritual dependence and what it means to truly multiply.
Okay, let's jump in. Let's start with the absolute foundation of all of this, the mindset that really drives everything else.
So the first contrast, and it's probably the most defining one, is that very mindset. A leader who's focused on protecting turf,
Yeah.
they are operating from a scarcity mindset.
Scarcity. So, like, there's a limited pie, and they're terrified someone else is going to get a bigger slice.
Exactly. Their default is fear. So they guard their influence, they hoard relationships, and they're always, deep down, afraid of being replaced.
That fear of being replaced, that feels like the real tell, doesn't it? It means every talented young person, every emerging voice isn't a gift. They're a threat.
Their competition. But the legacy builder, they think completely differently. They think generationally. They're coming from a place of abundance. They know the kingdom isn't finite, it's infinite.
So they're not just not intimidated by those emerging voices.
They're ignited by them. They're excited by them. Because for a legacy builder, the success of the next generation is the only real way to measure their own success.
Okay, so if the turf protector fears being replaced, the legacy builder celebrates being reproduced. That's a huge distinction.
Toot everything.
It means the success of the people you're raising up doesn't dim your light. It's actually proof that your light is multiplying.
It connects right back to that core idea that, whatever God gives you, influence, resources, a gift, it's not really yours to keep, it's yours to pass on.
A stewardship.
A stewardship. The legacy builder gets that their influence doesn't shrink when they release it, it expands exponentially. And that just flips the whole goal of leadership from maintenance to multiplication.
And that philosophy, that mindset, it immediately changes how you deal with people. Which brings us to the second contrast, creates staff versus raises sons and daughters. This is where it gets really personal and where we move from just organizational religion into the kingdom as a family.
That's a key phrase right there. In a religious structure or even just a secular one, people are staff. They're employees. They're hired to fill a position.
It's all about function. Do the task, fill the slot, check the box.
But the kingdom is familial. So the focus isn't on filling a position, it's on fulfilling a purpose. You're not just hiring employees, you're raising up sons and daughters. The leader becomes a parent, not just a manager.
And our sources really stress this point. A true spiritual leader doesn't just train people for a function, they impart an identity.
Yes. They move people from feeling like, a temp worker to knowing they have eternal value. It's the difference between here's your job description and you carry my heart.
Wow. And you share in my inheritance. That word inheritance, that's the anchor, isn't it?
It is. A staff member shows up for a paycheck. It's transactional. If a better offer comes along, well.
They're gone. But sons and daughters, they show up for inheritance. And that means ownership, a shared future, belonging. You're not working for the leader, you're building the legacy with them.
And that takes a totally different level of vulnerability from the leader. It's not just about managing anymore. You have to be willing to show your process, your mistakes, your real self.
Because they need more than your skills,
They need your spirit.
which is a perfect segue. Speaking of spirit, that leads right to contrast number three. Delegates tasks versus passes on a spirit. This is huge.
They're worlds apart. Delegation is basically management. You teach some of the steps, right? You show them how to do what you do.
And it's functional for sure. It gets the job done. But the sources are clear. It's not transformational. It just creates imitators.
Exactly. But impartation. Now we're talking about real multiplication. When you pass on your spirit, the person receiving it doesn't just copy your methods. They start to carry your mantle.
And that mantle isn't just a title or authority. It's like the spiritual DNA, the foundational anointing that's needed to actually continue the work.
Let's make it concrete with those source examples.
Yeah.
Think about Moses and Joshua.
Right. Numbers 27.
He didn't just give him a binder of policies and procedures for leading Israel. He laid hands on him. There's a transfer of authority, of wisdom. It was a spiritual download.
So Joshua wasn't just following a plan. He was carrying the very spirit of Moses into that next chapter. That's so different from how we think about succession today.
Totally different. Or look at Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah imparted that double portion, Elisha didn't just become the next guy in the office.
He wasn't just the next administrator of the prophetic department, yeah.
No, he carried the spirit and the power that defined Elijah's whole ministry. He didn't just get training, he got transformation.
And I think this is why a legacy builder is so confident about letting people go and releasing them into their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving away their job. They're passing on a supernatural anointing. And they know the source of that power isn't them, it's God, so the well never runs dry.
The resource, the spirit, is inexhaustible, which of course totally dictates where your trust lies.
And there it is. Contrast number four. Depends on money versus depends on God. This is where faith becomes either your ceiling or your launch pad.
It's so easy for that shift to happen, almost without you noticing, where a leader starts trusting the provision, the budget, the building fund, more than the provider.
And the sources are so powerful on this. They say money can build buildings, but only God can build people.
If you're depending on money, your vision is always, always going to be limited by what's in the bank account. Your faith becomes negotiable. If the money's not there, the vision stops.
But when you depend on God, your faith becomes unstoppable. I mean, you're tapping into heaven's resources. By definition, they never run out.
It forces you to live in this realm of supernatural supply, and it demands profound obedience.
Okay, the sequence here is so important. We think it's get the resources, then take the action.
Right. I'll move when I have the money.
But in the kingdom, it's flipped. Obedience always comes before provision. You move when God says move, and you trust the resources will follow. The turf protector waits for the perfect financial forecast. The legacy builder takes the leap of faith.
And that leads right into priorities,
yeah,
which is our fifth contrast. Values structure versus prioritizes relationship. Structure is often the main tool a turf protector uses to maintain control.
And look, structure has its place, right? Every family, every organization needs some kind of scaffolding to function. But the legacy builder knows that relationship is the foundation.
That's the key. The second the scaffolding becomes more important than the family living inside,
yep,
you've lost the plot. You've shifted into pure maintenance.
You know, it's like Jesus didn't spend 3 years setting up a nonprofit with complex bylaws and flowcharts. He came to restore a family. Relationship was first.
And that changes the whole philosophy. A structure-driven religion says, follow the rules.
But a relationship-driven kingdom says, follow the relationship. The relationship informs the rule. The rule never, ever gets to kill the relationship.
But let me ask this, because it's a critical point. If relationship is the top priority, how do you keep things from descending into total chaos without structure?
That's a great question. And it's not about being anti-structure. Structure isn't evil. It's just secondary. The problem is when structure becomes the main thing, when efficiency and policy are valued more than people.
That's when control creeps in.
Exactly. Control is the turf protector's weapon.
Yeah.
But when a relationship is the main thing, what flows out isn't control, it's love. And that love creates the environment where people actually feel safe enough to fulfill their purpose, not just follow a policy.
So structure supports the relationship, it doesn't define it.
That's a huge difference.
Huge. Structure maintains order, but relationship enables growth.
So we've covered mindset, people, method, dependence, and foundation. Now we get to the final metric, the bottom line, contrast number six. Seek success versus pursues obedience.
This is where we measure our lives against two totally different scorecards. The world measures success by what it can see, right? The numbers, the titles, the size of your platform, the applause.
Mm-hmm. And a leader who is seeking success is, whether they admit it or not, saying, look what I built. They're taking ownership of the outcome.
But heaven measures obedience. And obedience says something totally different. It says, look what he did. It shifts all the ownership, all the glory, away from the leader and puts it right back on God.
So if you're chasing success, you're chasing outcomes. You're always looking for that external validation that you're hitting the mark.
But if you're pursuing obedience, you're chasing his presence. You're focused on the next right step, the immediate instruction, whether it leads to a giant stage or just a quiet act of service nobody ever sees.
The ultimate reward in the kingdom is faithfulness, not fame. It's a chase for his presence, not for applause. I mean, the sources just hammer this home with that one scripture.
Matthew 25.
Yeah. God never said, well done, successful servant. He said, well done, faithful servant. That one word, faithful, that's the dividing line. It's the difference between building your brand and building his kingdom.
And faithfulness just means doing what he told you to do. Even if the world thinks it's small or slow or totally insignificant, success is often about being seen. Faithfulness is about integrity, even in the hidden places.
So to pull all of this together, the message from our sources is just crystal clear. The challenge for us right now is that the church, the organization, it doesn't need more professional managers just trying to maintain what we already have.
No, it needs more fathers and mothers.
It needs leaders who are actually brave enough to let go of control, who are excited about multiplication. And you get that the moment they pass on their influence, they actually become more influential, not less.
It comes down to those three actions we've been talking about. Legacy builders have to think generationally, they have to love relationally, and they have to live dependently on God.
That fear of being replaced has to be totally swapped out for the joy of seeing your spiritual kids go further than you ever did.
So if you're listening and you're wrestling with this, if you feel that constant pull to control things or to hoard what you have, that's a signal. That's the turf protector mindset. The check is simple. Are you afraid to release what you're holding, or are you excited to multiply it?
The choice is clear. The call is urgent. Let's stop protecting perf. Let's start building legacy. And as a final thought for you to take with you this week, something to really chew on, based on everything we've unpacked about impartation and multiplication, just consider this. What area of your life or your influence, maybe it's your knowledge at work, a spiritual insight, a key relationship, what are you currently just managing? What are you protecting out of that old scarcity mindset? What gift is just sitting there waiting to be passed on? And what's the real cost to the next generation if you fail to impart it right now? Go and explore that question.